2014 Spring Report. My name's Eric Francis, recording on a somewhat autumn-like day here in the Hudson Valley of New York. I have, for the past couple of hours, been chilling out with your solar chart. It's got lots and lots of planets in it, and the message is now coming through. So that's why I clicked start. And here's what I'm getting. The way that the current aspect patterns, there are really, as far as I can see, three major aspect patterns. The Grand Cross, the Grand Trine, and then another subtopic that is especially influential for the mutable signs, Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. And the way this combination of factors is affecting the Virgo and Virgo rising chart is as if on one level of understanding this astrology, you are being called into the most far-out, mystical, non-physical, what you might describe as a spiritual quest, as a journey or an invitation to take a journey going beyond the rational realm. The rational realm, which you're very good at, your mind inherently goes there. There is a thing about Virgo that if it could, would like to reduce everything to a comprehensible equation of some kind. And yet that is not a way that we can interrelate with the current world. The current world calls on us to be able to embrace what you might think of as the chaos pattern. Because there is so much moving and happening. There are so many people. In my short lifetime, the world is obviously considerably more crowded. And there are 750,000 planets known to be orbiting the sun. In 1977, there were just 2,060. That includes all asteroids and centaurs and weird bits only orbiting our sun. So the number has gone from 2,060 in 1977 to more than 750,000 in 2014. That is indicative of a kind of an exponential increase in chaos, and that cannot be handled with the rational mind. And so your rational mind is being confronted by all of this infinity, what you might think of as exponentially increasing randomness. And you are having to change your orientation. You're having to shift your perspective. You're having to go beyond all of the old methods of comprehension, of understanding, of communicating with others, your concepts of time. All need to be re-envisioned in a way. And the influences that I'm talking about are looked at one way, pointed right at you, and you're looking right at them. It's like you're face to face with one another, and you can see how trippy everything is. And you're encountering people who are calling you to go beyond all of that past logic that worked so well for a while, and that, you know, in a simpler world and in a time when less was expected of you and when you were maybe not so curious about the deeper nature of existence, all worked fine. And now you're being drawn out. And you're also being drawn out by a series of very similar inner transformations that are saying even all of your prior concepts of what spirituality was, what it meant to expand your consciousness, all of those are now being having to be transcended. Just how it is. And so you might say that you are being called beyond your own mind. You're being called beyond the known, beyond the rational, beyond what you can explain, beyond what you can add up, beyond what you can rationally understand. And that's a beautiful place to be. It is very unusual. You may be retreating into a kind of rationality and involved in a, you know, relationship with all of this unusual influence. You may be experiencing it. If that's true, you may be experiencing it as other people who are kind of confronting you with it, and you may not be entirely convinced of their veracity or even whether they're sane. There is a possibility that there are those who seem like they would kind of breach your auric membrane to get inside of you, to put these ideas into your mind. And so while you are in what to me, reading planets and an astrology chart, looks like this relationship one way or the other to all of this stuff that is beyond rational and also beyond any normal concept of what is spiritual, you are dancing with these influences, whether they're outside of you, whether they're in your relationships, or whether you're feeling them brewing inside of you. The other part of your astrology, the other story that is being told, is of the need to be absolutely grounded. Not so much rational, but firmly planted on the planet in the space and time that you occupy, in the immediate environment that you live in, focused on the tasks at hand, whether they be work or learning or healing, whatever it might be. And so it's as if the illustration presented by your astrology is of living simultaneously in two different worlds. One world where you're being called beyond what you might think of as the framework of your own intellect and experience. And another world where you're being called into immediate, solid, grounded focus on the most pragmatic elements of your existence. And it's as if the two, first of all, are representative of completely different orders of reality. They almost bear no resemblance to one another. The priorities are different. The purposes seem different. The priorities seem different. and the outcomes seem different. One seems to be calling you beyond. The other seems to be calling you into an immediate presence. But what they have in common is a translation of or shift outside of the abstract. Because whether we're talking about going beyond the rational, as I first explained it, and existing in relationship to a cosmic presence of some kind, or a cosmic quest of some kind, that is a form of a visceral reality. And whether you're being called upon to address very pragmatic matters such as money, the work that you do, the ways in which you are exploring your creativity, sex, relating to other people in a way that's meaningful, that too is a translation out of mental abstraction. And so if there is tension between these two realms of reality, it is very likely to be tension that is caused by the attempt to make sense of what's going on in a rational way, or to revert to the past where this seeming divergence, this split into these two different parallel universes of reality, didn't exist. And so the answer, so to speak, the solution set, I prefer to think of it as a possible, or one of several possible solution sets to the astrology equation that you're living in the midst of, or if you prefer that I'm sitting here describing to you, is to encounter what you know is real now and what you know is meaningful now, what you are feeling now, what is being offered to you now, what options you have now, and to also impeccably maintain your presence in the physical environment. And when you enter both of those quests in a fully present and honest way, they will seem to have much more in common, and indeed they will be fairly obviously realities that support one another, or what you might think of as paths that lead to a common place. There are plenty of examples from the history of mysticism and witchcraft and drug experimentation and all of those ways in which we transcend reality that is fully inherent in the human experience as a need and may, if you believe Terence McKenna, represent what it actually means to be a self-aware human, self-aware in that human way, as opposed to self-aware on the level of some other species, particularly of animals. That need to transcend is what makes us human. And yet for that to be possible or meaningful, it's necessary to be grounded. So, for example, this is why, in my perspective, witches have familiars. However out there they go, typically it's a cat, their cat grounds them in reality. I will tell you that on numerous occasions, I have used the animals in my life as a vitally important reference point for whether things are getting too weird. In one experience, my entire apartment was kind of immersed into the realm of the ghosts, the spirit world. And I knew what was happening. I was not on any drugs. I was, in fact, working energetically with a client whose girlfriend had committed suicide, and he found her body. So I had spent the day working with him. And then I agreed to do some energetic work with her. And instead of her just arriving, my entire apartment and my neighbor's apartment where I was house-sitting and the attic, which was open, the whole place was thrust into the spirit world. And there I was. And there were these energy beings every place. And thankfully, my cats were around. And I looked at my cats, William Penn and Ling Ling, my beloved cat friends, and they were just kind of lounging around like everything was fine. And so I knew that I was fine. My cats became a kind of a mirror and a source of reassurance. I tapped into my trust in their instincts, my trust in their ability to sense danger, their ability to sense whether I was in distress, their ability to sense truly alien presence, alien in the sense that it didn't belong there. And they were just lounging around, and I looked at them, and they looked at me, and I knew everything was fine. And so in that way, the taking care of money and making sure that the boundaries in your relationships both make sense and are a little edgy, and making sure that your worldly quest for good sex, and it looks like a quest for really good sex that comes with both passion and a sense of growth and some authentic commitment, but kind of hanging loose in that commitment. All of those worldly things, or seemingly worldly things, represent a point of grounding. As you are encountering experiences and energies and influences and a subtler form of relationship and a subtler form of inner change that doesn't really have a name in any form of psychology that I've ever encountered, are tethered to one another in such a way that they allow one another to exist and allow each side of the experience to be meaningful and to be safe and to be grounded in its respective reality without conflicting with the other reality. And I'll just say again that if conflict enters the situation, that it is most likely to be due to the attempt to make an abstract observation about what is going on, or the attempt to validate, explain, or disprove, or to take an intellectual perspective or a skeptic's perspective, that would be the potential source of conflict. And to some extent, you know, anyone's mind would go there, at least for a minute. And if yours does, I would just say, you know, tell your mind it's okay, and that these worlds that you're living amongst don't conflict with one another. They're aspects of the same thing. And that all you need to do is be where you are, be aware of what's trying to get your attention in your environment, however you, you know, think of that concept, and see what happens next. So let's take a short tour of these houses involved. Where I'm getting the encounter with the numinous, this compelling, profound influence to transcend, coming from two places, really. The first and the most obvious is your opposite sign, Pisces. In Pisces, there are several really interesting planets, made the more interesting by their grouping. They include two centaurs, which have been traveling somewhat near one another for many years, through Capricorn, then through Aquarius, and they entered Aquarius about the same time. That's Chiron and Nessus entered Aquarius together in 2005, after being in Capricorn close to one another also for a good number of years. And then Chiron, the quicker of the two, moved into Pisces in 09 and 10, and then was followed by Nessus just last week. So now Chiron and Nessus are back in the same sign. Pisces, that's your opposite sign. And so these new planets, which represent a, what you might think of as a non-ordinary state of consciousness, are influencing your environment and your relationships, which are already filtered through Pisces, a sign that itself is somewhat non-ordinary. Adding to the intrigue in Pisces is Neptune, the modern ruler of Pisces, which entered Pisces, I believe that was 09 and 10. That ingress took place. That was 11 and 12, pardon me. Because I remember where I was on the day that Neptune ingressed Pisces to stay. And then, which was Montauk Point. And then, finally, so that's a lot of water. A lot of water between Pisces and Neptune, which means empathy, a psychic opening that's worth noting the existence of, and a resonance with your environment that might feel on any different occasion like your psychic body is extraordinarily sensitive, open to anything, and like your environment is unusually receptive. The caution about that Neptune placement is that it can create a sense of isolation. Typically, I found that it is a, what you might think of as a false sense of isolation. But nonetheless, it can be present and it can influence you. And I suggest you work with that consciously, should you feel it. Not necessarily believe that it is what it seems be. And then the last influence is called Borsisi, and this is a very powerful outer planet, approximately 300-year orbit, so it's just beyond Pluto. And that is almost like a Jedi mind test about the influence of your power of belief and what it does to you. So there's a continual translation with Borsisi in Pisces of belief and what it does. And what you experience and what you believe about what you experience and what that does. So just looking at Pisces, we're talking about some seriously trippy influences. That's all coming through your relationship house, which on one level is telling me there is a grand total of nothing normal about your relationships. Everything is different. I mean, we're not even talking about the difference between childhood and adulthood. We're talking about a difference that profound, but something that is taken hold only in the last 4 years, in a series of changes, each new influence being added in its appropriate moment, and then joining the other influences, and they're all having a kind of an exponential effect. And that's what you're looking at. And that's why I'm saying, there is a deeper world than this, as Sting said, tugging at your hand. Only it seems more to be tugging at your soul and at your whole mind. The other astonishing fact of the mutable signs right now, let's see if I can find a listing. Let me pause this thing and I'll be back in a digital instant. Is that in Sagittarius, particularly late Sagittarius, near the galactic center. Sagittarius, by the way, is 90 degrees away from your sign. It's another sign on the mutable cross. It's the next one, and it's located in your fourth house. So it's four signs away. Since you're starting with Virgo, four signs away is Sagittarius. That's that interesting way in which the houses and the signs overlap. And so in this fourth place, fourth house, which is typically described as the house of security and the emotional environment, and what I think of as the emotional experiences of the child translated into the reality of an adult. There is a point called the galactic center, the center of our galaxy. I think it's one of the most interesting things in astrology and somewhat amazingly almost entirely ignored by astrology, the center of the galaxy in which we live. 300 billion stars held together by what seems to be a supermassive black hole and a lot of dark matter. And you have this in your fourth house, one of the most intimate and private locations in the natal chart. And it is in late Sagittarius at about 26 degrees, and now in this era of history, many planets that have taken years to work their way through Sagittarius are one by one encountering the galactic center. And so the processes that those planets represent, the states of consciousness, the what you might think of as the personal histories that these planets represent, are one by one encountering a very powerful influence that is changing them, transforming them down to what you could think of as the chemical or cellular level. And where this is going on is in the region of your emotions, the space of your private inner room. And so with this type of activity, there is not a normal emotional reality or normal emotional response or concept of safety. There is, in fact, an entirely cosmic, downright strange, but still, it looks to me like potentially deeply reassuring quality that these transits have. And they're not going to let up anytime soon. They are really only getting going. And there's a group of, let's say, let's keep it down to 4 points right now, that are gathered together. The Galactic Center, remember, doesn't transit like a planet. It's a fixed star, or the equivalent of a fixed star. And so it only precesses. It only moves a degree every 70 years. Right. So in a human lifetime, it does not move very far, whereas there's no planet that moves that slowly that we know of. So it's a fixed point, relatively speaking. And conjunct that fixed point is Kariklo, a centaur planet named for a water nymph who was the wife of Chiron, the mentor and the healer, the factor that transformed astrology from something akin to a parlor game into a holistic art. And Kariklo represents the abiding with, among other delineations, but the profound patience that one must have to honestly encounter another person in relationship. And now Kariklo is making a long, several years long encounter with the Galactic Center. And that quality in you, that profound capacity for abiding love, is being fully awakened within you. The capacity for meaningful embrace of another's experience without the need to let go of your own experience, fully engaging the power of witness that you possess, is being awakened in you on the level of the depths of your soul. The other planet, Slow Mover, in an exact conjunction with Kariklo and just 1 degree from the galactic core, in fact, 1/3 of a degree from the galactic core, is Quaoar, Q-U-A-O-A-R, a major discovery among the planets orbiting our sun. Without going into the whole story, Quaoar represents one's personal creation myth. It also represents the family of humanity, however you think of that. And that would include, well, it starts with the concept of the tribe. And the tribe is really the extended family into which we're born. And so with Quaoar, there's a commentary on your encounter with that which existed before you arrived here. and the ways in which you unconsciously picked up on the rhythm and the dance of all that existed, particularly on the tribal level, before you got here, and took that for granted, and joined the dance. And now that whole story, that whole previous concept of tribalism, which was somewhere between unconscious and rational, is being taken to what you might call the seat of the soul, the galactic center, again, for full engagement and awakening. Then there's the asteroid Karma, currently conjunct the galactic center. And Karma is what you might think of as your own personal study in the relationship between cause and effect. And that is up for question. There is no relying on your previous concept of cause and effect. And that is to say that the causes are more profound and the effects are more far-reaching. And that the notion of what you might think of as petty karma is being vaporized by cosmic fire. And you are being called upon to exist on a level of reality where there is a completely different and more humane concept of justice, which has to be, if there's any validity whatsoever to the spiritual realm at all, everything would have to be different. And that's one of the ways you know that you've arrived at or touched upon or glanced at or received information from, is that it is very different. In particular, the concept of justice is very different than what we experience typically on Earth, which, as we all know, can be extremely lowbrow and seem very unfair. And so, together, all of this is setting you free from something and allowing your birth into a new space of consciousness to happen on a level that does not require the conscious use of your mind or any of the old narratives that you know. And while it's not exactly just happening, it's not like it's something in automatic mode, because you're very much involved in the journey, at least as a conscious witness and one who is responding by making the necessary adjustments. You're being assisted in a total awakening, an awakening, actual awakening, better than total awakening, to a different awareness than you have ever known. Two last comments. I want to make a brief comment about money, which is to say that for the time being, especially through, let's say, July, mid-July, that you be very conscious about how you handle and think about money, and that you carefully study the relationship between money and self-esteem, and that you be extraordinarily conscious of the self-esteem factor in financial relationships with other people. where there is a financial relationship with someone else, it will have a very unusual ability to influence how you feel about yourself. So where there is money, keep your mind on and use the skills that you're gathering and experiencing, but also remember to just mind the practicalities such as the balance and noting where money comes from and where money goes. Your basic accounting. The other is sex. And what appears in your chart is, first of all, a long-term story, but it's being fully activated now. And this is related to your quest for self-esteem, self-understanding, that sex is a potent spiritual and evolutionary tool. I am painfully aware that this is not the popular contemporary way to think about sex. I won't say that it's all but gone, because there are plenty of people who understand the ability of conscious sexuality to be one of the very best transformational journeys that we have available on the physical plane. And it looks as if you have a nearly infinite realm of exploration using your sexuality as a vehicle, which also means your desire nature as a vehicle. And I would just remind you that as you reach for those depths of contact and you do those things that dare you to feel differently and to come out of any previously held comfort zone, that you bear in mind the extent to which the whole thing is an expression of your relationship with yourself. That sexual curiosity in any form about anyone or anything is an expression of your curiosity about yourself, how you feel about yourself, and how you feel about your own existence. So while there are others involved, you might say that others are a vehicle for you to understand and explore yourself, and it would be mighty fine if you were to select others who really understand that that is, first of all, something that exists, and that it is valid, and that for you it is 100% entirely necessary that you use the opportunities that you have now to embark on this journey in its erotic form. And that, by the way, is a commentary on all of the above, plus looking at Pluto in the fifth house in Capricorn and Mars in the second house in Libra retrograde. That is where the self-focus and self-understanding and self-curiosity comes in. And then there's one more little bit, which is Uranus in the 8th house, Aries. This is a hint that it is possible that certain experiences will call for there being more than two people in the room. And I would leave you with a bit of wisdom from Tantra that my mentor Joe Trusso passed on to me, which is that three or more people may gather safely in an erotic circumstance only when all hearts are open. Now, we know that about two people, but it's more obvious with two people. So if you find yourself with the option to explore in 3 or 4 or 5 or in any form of a group, be mindful and select based on open heart. Doesn't need to be perpetual abiding love for all eternity. Merely needs to be some form of an empathic, warm, trusting connection. On that lovely note, I will leave you, take a little break, play some scales, and move on to Libra. If you are Virgo Sun, I would encourage you to look up your rising sign. For that, you will need your birth time. Get as close as you can. Research that birth time. If you're so curious about astrology that you have just sat here and listened to me for 46 minutes, get your chart cast. Know your chart. Get it cast in a nice format. And keep one copy in your diary and clip one to your certificate of birth. Make that chart yours. There is so much astonishing astrology right now that though every day is a good day for a picnic, every day is a good day for astrology, I could hardly think of a more incredible time to slip into the universe of astrology. Anyway, all by way of saying, check your rising sign, see what's going on there. I think the sign Pisces will prove to be intriguing. I'll catch you in a different sign or on a different day. Bye for now.